Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Please, you may be seated. To everybody in every location, a big welcome to you, no matter where you're joining with us for this message. What a great delight it is to be here at C3 Oxford Falls, one of the greatest honours of our lives to be here in this incredible church. My wife Gillian is here with me today. I know you can't see her. Yeah, give her a big welcome. You can't see her in the other locations, but if you come out tonight, she'll be preaching here this evening. And I think you'll all agree when you hear her that John has slain his thousands, but Gillian, her tens of thousands. You're gonna love my wife tonight. It's going to be a powerful, powerful night. Just such a tremendous honor for us to be here with two of the heroes in our lives that have changed literally the face of the church globally. And that is to be here with the incredible leaders, Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle. We just want you to know we love you. If we're going to clap them, can we do a little better than that? Let's give honor where honor is due. We love you. We thank God for you. We've been hanging out with them this weekend, and I'm just like, Gillian, honestly, it's like they've found the fountain of eternal youth. They're so full of energy, joy, youthful good looks, exuberance. Pastor Phil is fit, lean, mean, and ready to go. I've worked out with him in the gym, and the guy is formidable, honestly. Leaders of such integrity, generosity, who have brought such life to the church globally. In fact, just recently, I was preaching at a church in Adelaide that was one of the original Pentecostal churches in Adelaide. Now it's been modernized. My dear friend David Hall is now the senior pastor of the church. But we happened to find ourselves in a back cupboard, and we found all of these overhead projector boxes of slides. Anybody been around long enough to remember an overhead projector? Yeah, this was a job that I never did when I was a kid. But, you know, you'd have to put these slides on the screen, and up it would come up on the for people to know the words. And we're going through song after song after song. And honestly, Pastor Phil, so many of them were written by you. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Is that right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I can remember them all. They just came into my head as we were looking at them. And I just thought, you know what? This is a movement that birthed a sound of praise and worship, ushered the church into the future. But I just felt the Holy Spirit just speaking to me this morning and saying, there is a whole new future, a whole new leap. There is a whole new step. I don't believe in any fabric of my being that C3 has already been the... You haven't yet achieved what God has for you. You haven't lived your greatest moment, haven't taken your greatest crown. C3, I want you to know that tomorrow is going to be so much better than any moment you've ever had, any day in this church's journey, any season in this movement's history. God's got something greater for you. And if you believe that, I need everybody everywhere from Avalon to Manly to Penrith to Silver Stream to lift your voice and give God some praise. And let's declare that greater things are still to come. If you believe that, say amen, 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 amen. In fact, right now, I'm actually going to change my message because I feel like God has a word for some people that are in this room. So if you have a Bible, we're going to go to the book of Joshua this morning. I'm sorry, media team, you don't have this message, but hopefully some people out there have got a Bible and still read it occasionally. I'll let you in on a key. It's available on every smartphone. So if you haven't come, it won't be on the screen, but turn to a Bible-believing Christian and you should find a Bible somewhere. We're going to turn to the book of Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. I want to speak a message that I actually feel the Lord is stirring in my heart to share with you right in this moment of time. And it's a message that is simply entitled, An Unfamiliar God. An unfamiliar God, about the God that we worship, an unfamiliar God. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 says, Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and he asked, Are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Jericho, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have the seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear the sound of a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Verse 13, just one more time. In fact, verse 14, neither, he replied, but as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come. If you want to pick a guy in the Bible who knew God well, someone who had experienced God, been intimate with God, had encounters and revelation of God, then I think your short list would have to include this man, Joshua. When you think about his life and what he'd been through and what he'd experienced, this man was a man who had a phenomenal understanding of God. This is important for us in our lives, friends, because at the end of the day, our lives are going to be defined not by the circumstances that we encounter or the challenges that come our way. Our lives are going to be defined by the revelation that we have of God. I know this to be true because the revelation I have of God determines my expectation in life. Is that not true? If I have a revelation of a God who is small, weak, unable to help me in my time of need, not willing to perform the miraculous, then my expectation in the situation, storms, and trials of my life is going to be conformed to the revelation that I have of Him. On the flip side, if I have a revelation of a God who is bigger than every challenge, able to help me with every storm that I face, who always makes a way even when there is no way, a God who performs miracles, who works in wonders, then when I face challenges, situations, and trials, the revelation I have of God is going to form the basis of my expectation in life. This goes a step further. The revelation might form an expectation, and my expectation is then in my life going to cause a confirmation. What do you mean, John? I mean, the way that I see life, the way that I see circumstances, opportunities that come up before me in life, the lens, the filter that through which I see the events of my life are going to come from my expectation that comes from my revelation. Let me give you an example. If I have a revelation of a God who is able to heal, then when sickness jumps into my body, I might say, I am encountering a difficulty in my life in this moment, but God will never leave me alone. He won't leave me in defeat. God is able to heal the sickness, and I'm going to look at that sickness and see an opportunity for the glory of God. If I have no revelation of a God of healing, then I'm going to see the event of my life in a completely different way. I'm going to conform the events of my life to the revelation that I have of Jesus, and then eventually my revelation will form the basis of my expectation. My expectation will cause a confirmation, and my confirmations will lead to a realization. What I mean by that is I will end up living somewhere in my life, and everybody is going to. We're going to end up somewhere in our lives, and the realization that we have at the end of our lives is that we're going to end up living the revelation that we have of God. The way that I see God is going to be the thing that's going to determine the course of my life. Friends, I need you to know this because storms are a reality. Difficulties happen to every single one of us, but we're not defined by the storms, and we're not held back by the trials. In fact, I want to present a notion to you that the greatest storms that jump into your life might be the greatest opportunities for us to discover a new revelation of God. Oh, we don't want to be the disciples in the boat when we're getting swamped by the waves, but we want to be there when Jesus awakes, calms the wind and the waves, and they say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? A new revelation of God might be the gift you get in the darkest night of your life. Somebody shout amen. And friends, I believe with all my heart that our revelation of God is of tremendous importance to us. And when we think about Joshua, think about what he was being through. He was a child who was born into slavery and was there when Moses commanded Pharaoh, let my people go. He watched the plagues came upon Egypt. He was there when the avenging angel destroyed every firstborn child in Egypt apart from those who had the blood of the lamb over their door. He was there when God split the Red Sea and allowed Israel to pass from one side to the other. He watched as the waters consumed the armies of Egypt that came up against them. And I believe with all my heart that God's saying to somebody today, I'm going to open up the sea and I'm going to take you through. And the very thing that looked in your life like it was going to keep running after you is going to be destroyed in the water of your crossing. God's going to take you into a new season. And if you believe that, if that's a word for you, why don't you give God some praise? Give God some praise in Silverwater and give God some praise in Avalon. That's the God that we worship. Joshua was there when they were led by the pillar of cloud and fire by day and by night. Joshua was there when Moses would go outside the tent, the camp, and he would meet with Jesus, with God face to face in the tent of meetings. When Moses climbed Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, not even the elders of Israel were allowed to climb that mountain with him. But one young man made his way to the top of that mountain, and his name was Joshua. Joshua is a man who in his life he has experienced God. He has an understanding of God. He knows God. And the Bible tells us when our passage of Scripture is written that Moses, who has been his leader, his mentor, his hero, has just died, and God is literally getting ready to take Israel into new and unprecedented territory. And I just have this feeling, I felt it during worship, I feel it in the service tonight. Today I really feel like the Lord is saying, I think he's saying to C3, I think he's saying to people, I think he's saying to individuals here, that you haven't lived your greatest day yet, haven't seen your greatest miracle yet, haven't known your greatest experiences in business yet, haven't seen the impact of your family legacy yet. God is a new day for you, more for you. I feel we've been at the women's conference, New Frontiers, but I believe there's a new day about to break over many people in every location. And no matter where you are in Sydney, if you believe that, lift your voice and give God some praise. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new season. There's a higher height. God has more. And if you believe that, shout amen. And the Bible tells us that Joshua leads the Israelites from one side of the Jordan River to the other. He's lived the last 40 years of his life in the wilderness, been fed by manna, drank supernatural water that came from the rock, sustained by God, held up by God. And now the Bible tells us that he is across the other side. He is literally in the middle of the promised land. The pillar of cloud, pillar of fire is gone. The manna has stopped appearing every morning. They have to go and find their own food, their own sources of water. I want you to note that Joshua is right in the middle of the will of God, yet in a place of his life that is strange and unfamiliar. At this point in our passage of Scripture, Joshua is standing in front of the walls of a city by the name of Jericho, that was said to be impenetrable. Chariots would race around its walls. It was a large and fortified city. And at this moment in time, God is getting ready to take Joshua to a whole new level in his life and in his leadership. Yet Joshua has never felt more alone. As Joshua is looking at the walls of Jericho, He's doing what we do when we face challenges in our lives. He goes back through what he knows and he understands of God. And he tries to bring what he knows of God into the present and into the challenge that he faces now. God has already moved in Israel's history as a God who gives a vision and a dream. And they understand that because Abraham came alive with a vision and with a dream. Moses delivered Israel out of bondage, and Joshua is familiar with a God who is able to deliver us from all of our problems. And then when they ran out of food in the wilderness, sure, God provided manna for them to eat, and Joshua knows a God who is able to provide. And when other countries attempted to destroy them in war, Joshua was there as God gave them victory over every enemy, and he knows that our God is a God of protection. He knows God. He understands God. And it's our natural tendency in life to try to define God, to try and put him in a box and to say of him, I understand you now. I know you now. I've figured you out now. We try to do this with God, and husbands, come on, get with me today, that we try to do this with our wives. I mean, I've tried to do this for 23 years of marriage to Jillian to figure this woman, this conundrum out. And just like the God of the universe, she won't live in the boxes that I make for her. I remember in our first year of marriage, I didn't know. We got married in April. Her birthday is in March, and her first birthday rolled around. And little did I know that in Jillian's family, you get your birthday present the moment that you wake up on the morning of your birthday. Now, in the Cameron house, you get your birthday presents at family dinner in the evening. There is a happy birthday in the morning, but the gifts are given in the evening. Now, I'm a 23-year-old man, so when was I going to buy the present? Was I going to buy it a month beforehand? No. A week beforehand? Absolutely not. I was going to buy the present on the day of her birthday and present it to her at dinner that evening. Well, you can all imagine that this was not the best day of our married life. Jillian awakes and there is a failed expectation, and let's just say I went out and I sold a kidney. I bought her a bottle of perfume that I could not afford, and I managed to redeem myself in the evening. Praise to the risen Lord Jesus. Well, the next year, Jillian's birthday rolls around, and I'm not that stupid, I've learned. And so I went out and I noticed that the bottle of perfume that I'd bought her was nearly at the bottom. And I thought, brilliant, that's the bottle of perfume that she likes. Why are all the women holding their faces all over the auditorium? I mean, men, once we find cologne we like, we're just like, keep going. Till they stop manufacturing it, I'm done. One less decision. Easy. I went out. I bought another bottle of perfume, exactly the same as the one the year before. On the morning of her birthday, I got up early, people, bacon and egg stuff, and I gave her that bottle of perfume, and she gave me that look that every husband has had. Oh. Thanks, darling. You know what she's thinking? Like, his motive was good, but this guy's an idiot. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, my darling, what's wrong? What's wrong? I mean, this is your favorite perfume. And she said, no, it was. But I like another one now. And women are like that. They won't live in the boxes that we made for them. They change. They're a mystery. We're seeking them out, trying to fathom the mystery of the woman. And the thing is, my friends, is that God is like this. He doesn't live in the boxes that we make for him. You never get to arrive at a point in your life where you can say of the God of the universe, I know you now. I've figured you out now. This is what you do. I have you on lockdown. I can define you. The God of the universe defies our definitions. In Psalm 50, verse 21, he said, you thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you to your face. So the Bible tells us that Joshua is standing at the top of a mountain. Standing at the top of this mountain, he is looking at a challenge greater than any challenge he's ever faced in his life before. A fortified city. walls impenetrable. A nation of people standing behind him looking for direction and leadership. An unproven leader, an obstacle he's never faced before. A greater challenge. And as he stands on the top of these walls and he looks on the top of that hill and he looks at the walls of Jericho, Joshua is doing what we do. In moments of desperation and difficulty, he is going through what he knows of God to try and find a piece of God to help him with the challenge that he's facing now. He's looking at the walls of Jericho and he's saying to himself, I don't need a vision and a dream. I need some walls to come down. And I don't need deliverance. There's no slave master here. I need victory in battle. He's saying, I don't need provision. That's helpful. But what I really need is I need for us to be able to conquer the city. And he's saying, protection. This isn't a military defensive. This is a military offensive. And Joshua is finding himself at this moment of time looking at the walls of Jericho without a piece of God for the challenge that he's facing now. He feels alone. He feels afraid. He feels bewildered, perplexed, and overcome. Where are you, Lord? And what am I to do? There are going to be moments in every person's life where we face challenges different, greater, than any that we have seen before. I've found in my life, and I'm sure that you can give me a nodding of the head today, that it's not the size of the problem that really overwhelms me, it's the size of the God that I have for the problem that I'm facing. If I know that God is with me, I'm up for every battle, right? It's when the battle is greater or different or somehow more significant than I feel I have a piece of Jesus for, that life gets really strange and uncomfortable. When the threat seems so big and the fight seems so lonely. Does anybody know what I mean? Joshua is a leader in this moment of time with a hollow call for war, with a thin veneer of confidence, but a nagging doubt on the inside of him. What am I to do with this challenge that I'm facing now? And the Bible tells us that between Joshua and the walls of Jericho, there appears a man. Joshua doesn't recognize the man. He doesn't know what this man represents for him in his life. He doesn't understand the man. And so he asks the man a question. And when you don't have anything of God for the problems that you're facing, my friend, you tend to think that the challenge is yours and not God's. And we can see about Joshua that he felt exactly the same. He says to the man, are you for us or are you for our enemies? This is my problem. And have you come to help me or to hinder me? Imagine Joshua's surprise when the man he doesn't understand and the man he doesn't know, responds to him in this moment and says, neither. But as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come. Remember of Joshua that of all the heroes of the scripture, there will be precious few who have seen God work in the number of ways and the kind of vast difference of experiences that Joshua has seen in his one lifetime. He has witnessed so many events and so many miracles and watched God move in so many countless different ways. But here we have Joshua standing in front of the walls of Jericho, and imagine his surprise, his wonder, the worship that was inspired within him when a man looks at him and says, as commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come. And it begins to dawn on Joshua that God came to Abraham with a vision and a dream. And God came to Moses with a promise of deliverance. And God came to Israel in the wilderness with supernatural provision. And God came to Joshua to protect Israel in their time of need. But as commander of the armies of the Lord, that same God has now come. And in this amazing moment in Joshua's journey, Joshua has an encounter with God, but not a God that he is familiar with, and not a God he has experienced with before, not a God that he has witnessed move. I mean, the same God, but a different manifestation of his person and of his reality. Imagine Joshua's surprise where in this moment of time, he finds himself encountering an unfamiliar God. And friends, if there is one thing that we must realize about our God is that He has promised us, I will never leave you alone. I will never forsake you. I want you to understand that the God of the universe is not, His arm is not too short that He cannot save, and there is no battle that He can't help us with, and no obstacle that He can't enable us to overcome. He said, I'm with you even to the ends of the age, and in any moment of our lives, any situation that we face or any problem that we're encountering where we might feel that we are undone by the fight or overwhelmed by the challenge or alone in the middle of the battle, I just need you to know that the God that we worship is right there, moving in signs and wonders, able to help, has power in His hands. And I want you to know God is going to work in wonders in your life. And maybe your marriage is right now under pressure. There's an unfamiliar God that wants to help you. If there's sickness in your body, there's an unfamiliar God with power in His hands to heal you. If there's a challenge in your life, know that God is right there. I need about five people to say amen. Amen. He's an unfamiliar God. He's an unfamiliar God. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, no matter how many wonders you have seen, I believe that the God of the universe is wanting to inspire within His people this morning worship and wonder as we realize, I've got more for you. I've got greater things I want to do in you. I believe, C3, that honestly God is saying, the songs haven't been written yet. The churches haven't been launched yet. The day hasn't been lived yet. God's going to take you into a whole new horizon. Get ready for thousands of churches. Get ready for a sound of worship that will cover the earth. Get ready for a wave of innovation. Get ready for a whole new day. Get ready for revival fire. Get ready for the harvest to come in. Get ready for the greater things that God has. God's going to move in a new way, in a significant way. That's the God that we worship. And if you believe it in every single location, I want you to stand to your feet and give that God some praise in this place right now. He's an unfamiliar God. He's an unfamiliar God. The band can come and join me in every location. He's an unfamiliar God. See, the thing is, my friends, when you get a revelation, it leads to an innovation. And an innovation is going to enable your possession. Who's ever heard of marching around the walls of a city 6 days and on the seventh day marching around seven times? But my friends, I want you to know that it's not just in technology, but in God's church. God's going to give you strategies for new challenges that are going to give you faster breakthrough and more speedy results. And God's going to work in wonders. There's a business leader here, and God's saying, I've got more for your business. I've got a new day for you. You're going to look at the same problem with a new eyes of worship and get ready for God to download an idea that's going to give you supernatural breakthrough.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.